Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, whom even the demons must obey. Amen. You've seen the story play out before, perhaps with your own children, neighbor's children, other family members, a son or daughter, niece or a nephew. The joy of watching them grow and develop, the thrill of seeing them master a new ability, going through the hard work of each and every step till they're running full steam ahead. Your caring hand always there to help, to protect, to guide. Naturally, that child will test their limits, and in a good way. How fast can I really walk? How quickly can I run around the house? Can I skip another rung on the monkey bars? That growth spreads to speaking ability. As vocabulary grows, what words are acceptable? What words are beneficial or helpful? There's so much to learn. Mom or dad, aunt or uncle, brother or sister, they're nearby to take care that those little ones do not get into serious harm or danger. And those basic skills are soon surpassed by greater intelligence and awareness of all the world around. Ideas are explored and critical thinking takes place. Where does one stand on important matters? What is the appropriate guide for morality, for ethics, for acceptable behavior with others? Social media today has provided a ready-based platform for all to express their true innermost feelings, oftentimes to our dismay. It's easy to defend a platform confidently and boldly from a keyboard. However, that first encounter with that opponent, following a heated exchange, breathes awkwardness. Did you go too far in what you said? Did you transgress the boundary of what is normal? How can one really know? What is more valuable, the thought occurs to you, to be open and honest about every single one of your opinions, or to be able to listen, to reason, and to understand others, allowing for there to be peace and harmony in your relationships? Now, in today's world, as it has really always been, it is the rare person who is able to take an idea to the extreme and carry it all the way through to completion. For usually consequences abound for such a person with their family life, their social life, their working life. Going to the extreme usually receives an attempt by loved ones, friends, to intervene and impede that progression. This happened with Jesus. No one could fully understand what Jesus had come to do, what he must do for all of mankind's eternal salvation. That was what was at stake. Typical platitudes and diplomacy would not do for mankind's redemption from death and hell. Jesus' mother and his brothers could not comprehend this. At first, the idea of Jesus, now a new rabbi with disciples willing to follow after him, that was something to be proud of, to confess to others. They also had in their recent family pedigree Jesus' relative, John the Baptizer, getting arrested for preaching a similar message of repentance. And now, Jesus, Mary's son, was doing the same. And on top of that, it had become the norm. Jesus was making a name for himself in the community. And as with most of those types of situations, Jesus had positive results from that too. His fair share of supporters, those who were with him, crowds of people following him from place to place, eager to hear his refreshing message of restoration for the poor and for the sick. And they figured if they stayed on with this Jesus, they too could have diseases healed, get their demon-possessed loved ones remedied and cured. Such actions, along with apparent Sabbath day violations as the accusations were flying, brought the attention of the reigning authorities, the same men who had made life for John the Baptizer a nightmare. And with those same supporters of Jesus naturally come the detractors, challenging Jesus at every turn. Scribes had been sent from Jerusalem, of all places, Jerusalem, the holy city, to spoil Jesus' reputation. He is possessed by Beelzebul, they said, by the prince of demons. He casts out demons, Jesus, in league with Satan. Now, that was a serious charge against Jesus and a serious charge for any of his family to hear and to receive. Imagine your own reaction if this was your loved one, your son or your daughter, that niece or that nephew gathered quite a following for their more rebellious views they're sharing online. But now they've gotten the authorities involved. Threats of lawsuits and arrest are coming their way. What does that look like for you and the rest of the family? Would they become targets as well? No doubt their reputation would be sullied. And so with hung heads, Jesus' family would have to traverse the marketplace. And even then into the great city of Jerusalem, they would go with shame from time to time. And so Jesus' family sends a delegation to him, pleading with him to cease and desist his ways, to come back home. Let us save whatever dignity our family has left. And so they declare Jesus crazy, out of his mind, because in their view that he had gone too far. The gig was up, game over, time to stop, for the line had been crossed, and it was time to come home. While that is true, in most of our earthly situations, our own personal experiences, we hear about it reported from time to time. This was not the case for Jesus. He was doing exactly what was necessary, and he faced down the accusations of colluding with the devil. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand, Jesus said. So it just does not make sense for Jesus to be working with Satan. But instead, it was indeed Jesus who was casting out Satan, working against Beelzebul. For this is what Jesus was doing, his work of his words. As he said to those gathered around, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. That was Jesus' work. Every preached word, every sickness healed, every demon cast out was the binding up of the strong man, the binding of Satan. How could Jesus do this so well? Always remember, Jesus is their Lord and their Creator as well. They must heed his word when he puts his foot down. And indeed, it was as John the Baptizer had proclaimed that Jesus was the mightier one coming after him, the true, stronger man. And it is in this greater context that Jesus speaks these words about the sins that will be forgiven and the one sin that will not. Jesus' dear family, his mother and his brothers, they fall into that first camp. Those who blaspheme Jesus, who declare him not in his right mind by their limited understanding and do not believe him to be God's Son. Those sins can and they will be forgiven for those who do turn and those who do repent, who see what Jesus did on the cross and make the confession as the centurion would do, that this truly is the Son of God. Contrary to those, however, are the ones who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Those who say that the work of salvation, the work of forgiveness of sins, is evil. Those who deny Jesus' suffering and his death for the world's redemption, those who commit an eternal sin, that sin of rejection of God's Son, the sin of unbelief, those are the ones who have committed the sin that cannot be undone or forgiven. And so only those who die in that unbelief can no longer turn and be saved. But all have had the chance to do just that, to repent while they still have life and they still have breath. Thanks be to God that Jesus did not heed the call of his family to step away from that ministry of redemption. For yes, his ideas were truly revolutionary. How could they not be? For he is God in the flesh. God intervening, stepping into creation, proclaiming a message of salvation not rooted in mankind's works, but rather in the work of the true Son of Man, Jesus. And you and I, of course, would do better to heed the call of our common sense, to cease from our positions and opinions, focusing rather on the one thing that is truly needful, the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. His work has paved the way for you to life everlasting, and his body and his blood given in his meal has filled you with his saving grace. And that message alone, is the one to cling to at all costs, the one thing that is needful, the very gospel of Jesus. For he alone is Lord over the Sabbath. He alone is Lord over the demons. He has crushed that serpent's head by his death, and he has lifted yours by his resurrection. All thanks, all praise, all honor be to Jesus our Lord, now in this place, and forevermore as his people in his kingdom that has no end. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.